700 years before he broke onto the human stage, God spoke through prophets who foretold the coming of Messiah. Can you imagine what it was like to hear those proclamations in real time? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll celebrates several of those announcements as we step into the Christmas season together. Our study of Abraham is officially on hold for a couple of weeks as we give our full attention to the historic moment when God became flesh and walked among us. Chuck titled this first message in his brand new series, God Keeps His Promises.
If you have brought your Bible today, please open to the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7. Once you locate chapter 7, verse 14, please put your finger at Isaiah 9. We're thinking about how God keeps His promises, and we're looking at a couple of three of them today that are among the most familiar. And we're going to sort of set them in the context of this great season of the year. You found your place. Let's stand together for the reading of these verses of Scripture. Isaiah 7:14, the Lord Himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then turn the page to chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download the Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called God Keeps His Promises.
I plan to bring a mini-series of five messages during the holiday season. All five will focus our attention on the single theme, God knows what He is about. My hope is to remove all doubt in anyone's mind regarding God's awareness and God's control, whether it has to do with things of the past, things going on at the present, or things that unfold in the future. All of them fall in the category of that overarching theme, God knows what He's about. And as all of us could testify, they fall into two categories: those things we would call God's blessings. Those are the things we look forward to and give thanks for. Times when He gives us reason to rejoice. Healing from diseases, getting through hard times and coming out on the other side whole and wiser. Times of encouragement and affirmation. These are when God blesses us and how He has done so. God knows exactly what He's doing, and He knows it from eternity past. He never learns, He never discovers, He's never surprised. Things do not unfold against His will, but according to his will, whether it is planned or permitted, whatever, it is all a part of the arrangement of things that he has in mind. That includes both his blessings as well as the trials and the heartaches. Those of us who have lived long enough to see the unfolding of events over our lifetime have discovered that no matter which, blessing or crushing, it works together for good, has a purpose, it has a reason, and those are often not known at the time they occur. And so I would like to talk about both the blessings and what I will call the crushings of God. The first three times during this series, little mini-series of five messages, I'll address the blessings of God and why or and how. How does he carry out those blessings? And then we'll turn for the last two messages in the series as we get into the new year, the crushings of God and why. That's often the question we ask when we're in the middle of it. I was a first-year student at Dallas Seminary sitting in the old Chafer Chapel listening to Alan Redpath, now gone from us. Dr. Redpath was at that time the pastor of Moody Church, and he had come for a couple or three messages at Dallas Seminary, and they were along the theme of a biography from the Scriptures. I forget which biography he was addressing at that time or what his message was in its whole, but I remember one line that he gave again and again. In fact, each of those messages, he repeated the line, "When God wants to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible person and crushes him." That gripped my attention because up until then, my life had been pretty much free of crushings. I had known disappointments, of course, and hard times, but I was back then in my mid-20s, and life had been awfully good, for which I gave God praise. But I had to stop and think that there are also times when he determines something for us is needed, and it is to be learned only through the crushing blows of life. When God wants to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible person and crushes him. It's interesting when you hear that, and when I first heard it, we don't normally link God's working to the subject of crushing. It may surprise you to know that there is a prophecy that appears in one of the passages of Scripture that it pleased the Lord to crush his son. His death on the cross was no last-minute rescue plan. But when Jesus came, he came to die, and to die a certain way. And over a period of torturous hours, he was literally crushed physically. I've learned in my years on this earth that God not only in his plan brings blessings, he also plans the trials. All of this came home to me in a fresh way when another man was speaking during my years at seminary, and that man was Richard Sumi. Dr. Sumi was pastoring a church in Richmond, Virginia, before he came to the seminary as our chaplain for a number of years. He also is now gone, but his ministry lives on in many of our memories. magnificent man of God. And I'll never forget when he stood to deliver a particular message at the chapel, and he included this piece. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed, watch his methods, watch his ways, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay, which only God understands. While his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes, how he uses whom he chooses, and with every purpose fuses him, with every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. It's from that last line I draw the title for this mini-series over the season of the year, this year and into the next year. God knows what he's about when he blesses. And we'll consider that in three messages. God keeps his promises. That's today. God chooses his servants. That's next week. We'll look a little closer at Mary and Joseph. Carefully selected servants. And third, God sends his son, which is an appropriate statement to be used on Christmas morning. The first two Sundays of the new year, we'll flip it over to the other side, and we'll look at the crushings in the lives of two individuals that Christians are somewhat familiar with. The fourth message will be God bends a stubborn will. We'll look at Jonah of Joppa, and how God bent his will to walk ultimately in obedience. And then the final of the series will be God humbles a proud heart. God not only bends a stubborn will, he humbles a proud heart. And we'll look at Saul of Tarsus. The earlier years of his life, when he was anything but a model of godliness. That will be our plan for the coming holiday season. To begin with, God keeps his promises. We look at three of them that are among the better known of those that God has promised. Someone once numbered all the promises in the Bible. And he said in the particular article he wrote, there are 7,474 promises. I chose not to read them today, knowing that you wanted to have lunch and supper, so I wouldn't address all of those, but only three that stand out. But by the way, not all the promises are for us to claim. Remember that there are certain promises written to certain individuals that have nothing to do with us, but they're promises. And then there are those that are directly related to us in our lives. Those are promises we can claim for ourselves. The three I'm looking at today have to do, of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes it interesting is that all three were written in 700 BC. Think of that. Seven centuries before Christ was even on the earth, God had made statements regarding Jesus that were a long time away from their being fulfilled. In fact, the first one in Isaiah 7, verse 14, has a double fulfillment. Interestingly, all three of these promises were fulfilled during the days the Bible was being written, which gives us assurance that if God kept his word back when the scriptures were being written, he certainly does the same today, in case you question his promises. But in this first case, where we read the Lord himself will give you a sign, Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's got a double fulfillment. Maybe you hadn't found that out in your study of the scriptures. First, in the days of Isaiah, who lived around the era of 700 BC. And Isaiah is speaking these words to a king named Ahaz, who was doubting, and he was one of those longtime doubters. And Isaiah says to him, he's going to give you a sign, and you will know that it is the Lord. A virgin will have a child. Now, in this case, the word virgin, alma in the Hebrew, means a woman of marriageable age. It doesn't necessarily refer to one who conceives while a virgin, as it does in the case of Mary. We'll look at that in a moment. But this has reference to one who was at that time, Isaiah wrote this and spoke this, she was a virgin. She would later be married and would have a son, but at this time, the Lord makes this promise to Ahaz, and he can count on it, that the Lord will bring about a child from this woman who, as of now, is not even married, nor has ever known a man intimately. Interestingly, this one would be the wife of Isaiah himself. After he lost his first wife, he marries again, and that second wife would give birth to a child. When it was written, she was a virgin. But when it was fulfilled, of course, she had known Isaiah intimately, and they saw their firstborn come into their home. Now, I want you to go to the second fulfillment, and that's found over in Matthew chapter 1. Turn there, please. We'll look more closely at this passage next time as we consider that God chooses his servants. And I have in mind both Joseph and Mary. But look at how this unfolds in the fulfillment the second time in the scriptures. Verse 18, it is, begins in this way in Matthew 1. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. In those days, an engagement was a permanent issue. You were engaged, and within a number of months later, usually a full year, you would be married. But during the engagement period, it was not simply a matter of wearing a ring. It was a commitment to marriage. And to break off an engagement required a bill of divorcement. Or worse, if the woman is found pregnant, she could be stoned. Joseph did not want to make a spectacle of this. He obviously at this time doubted the divine source of the pregnancy and decided Mary had been unfaithful and was simply going to put her away quietly. By that it means divorce her. Now, we'll look at this more in detail next time, but if you will put yourself in the place of Joseph, you have to be realistic enough to think that you would have trouble with that statement. When Mary says to you, I'm pregnant, but the Holy Spirit is the reason I'm pregnant, you would question that. Don't look at me like you wouldn't. You would question that. There's not a man here that would say, oh yeah, that's great. Because you never read Matthew before. It had not been written. You have no record of such a thing. It's never occurred before. And it sounds like Mary might be delusional. Or worse, might not be telling the truth. Though he's never had reason to doubt her before. But Joseph, in all reality, doubts her word.
We're rehearing the details of the Christmas story, as though it were happening in real time, and it gives us a powerful perspective on the birth of Jesus we've likely never had before. You're listening to Insight for Living, and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, God Keeps His Promises. To hear it again, you can download the audio file at insightworld.org. We have reserved several minutes at the end of today's program to hear a closing illustration from Chuck, so please keep listening. First, though, let me remind you that Insight for Living has put together its first-ever Christmas concert DVD, performed by the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra. And in a moment, I'll explain how you can get a copy today. It's intentionally designed to help your entire family remain focused on the centerpiece of the Christmas celebration. More details about the DVD in just a minute. But first, Chuck, go right ahead.
From the day of his birth until now, men and women have overlooked the magnificent moment when Jesus broke into world history. Why? Because they've lost perspective. Take, for example, Caesar Augustus. Remember his story? A proud Roman politician, Caesar decided to fill the empire's coffers through taxation. So he ordered a census that required everyone to return to and register at their hometown. I mean, can you just see how proud he was? Yet, unbeknownst to Caesar, this census set a young couple on the path from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You see, Caesar thought he was running the show, but he was actually a pawn in Jehovah's hand. For through that edict, the prophecy came true. In Bethlehem, in an animal enclosure, behind an obscure inn, Mary gave birth. When she and Joseph stared into that baby's face, they were looking into the eyes of God. For a child is born to us, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we read in Isaiah 9:6. Caesar completely missed the miracle. Even today, Jesus gets overlooked by believers. At Christmas time, our hearts so easily get distracted by trivial things like Santa and shopping, buying and wrapping, torn by real issues like terrorism and racial injustice, chronic illness, and natural disasters. This year, let's be different. Let's let God change our perspective as He takes us to Bethlehem and reminds us that nothing truly hinges on who rules what country, or what devastation touches our hearts. Your life, your joy, and your peace rest with the King of Kings, that baby born millennia ago, heralded only by angels. Christmas beckons us to the King who conquers every darkness, our Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. No matter what distracts or threatens us, this is the message we proclaim year-round at Insight for Living Ministries. It's all made possible through your financial support. From border to border in this country and now spanning the globe, your generous donations point people to the all-powerful, ever-gracious King. As we approach the 31st of December, I can assure you that our financial need appears insurmountable. And yet, with many gifts from many friends, whether large or small, we can reach and even exceed the goal. This Christmas, I urge you to give generously so that weary hearts can rejoice in Christ. Through our focused attention and our extravagant gifts, let's receive our King together.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And when you give today, you're invited to request the brand new Christmas concert DVD called Let Earth Receive Her King. Viewing this DVD will give your family a front row seat at Stonebriar Community Church to participate in this magnificent Christmas celebration with full choir and orchestra. It contains 14 different tracks with favorites like Mary Did You Know, Silent Night, and Angels from the Realms of Glory. The DVD is yours when you give a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. It helps immensely when you remember to tell us where you hear Chuck's teaching. We want to be sure your station receives recognition for your commitment to the ministry of Insight for Living. Once again, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or you can also go online to insight.org. Join us again at the same time tomorrow to hear the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Keeps His Promises, was copyrighted in 2016 and 2017, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.